This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. I hope that you had a great week. Maybe you're heading out to Arrowhead Stadium. Maybe you are heading home to watch the Chiefs as they play their first game in 2025 season in Arrowhead Stadium. But I appreciate you listening and making us a part of your drive home and a part of your day. Now, I don't tell you guys this all the time because if a lot of people knew this, they would try to use my powers for evil. But I have the ability to see into the future. I have a very special ability to be able to predict things. And that's why I chose this career path, because I want to use my gifts to help you guys. I'm going to tell you how tonight's going to go for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's beautiful outside. Maybe you're going to have a couple adult beverages. Not too many, but just a couple. You're going to get a nice hamburger, maybe a hot dog. Maybe you take tailgating real seriously, so you're going to have something even better than that. And you're going to walk in there, and you're probably going to do the Arrowhead Chop, or I don't know what it is that you do. I can't see that. And you're going to go, and you're going to hear the music, and you're going to have all those feelings that going to Arrowhead brings you. You know, it's an amazing time. And I think the Chiefs are going to do you a solid today. I think they're going to let Patrick Mahomes play for just a little bit. Just a little bit that you remember what it's like to cheer for Patrick Mahomes. Just enough that you remember what it's like to cheer for Travis Kelce. And right when you get into it, they're going to take him out of the game. And that's what they should do. They're not going to play too much. They're not going to play too little. They're going to play just the amount. If I was Andy Reid, this is how I would handle it. We're going to do and we're going to script the first 10 plays of tonight's game. We're going to treat this as close to a game week as we can. We're obviously not showing you the high-level plays. Well, you know what? We're going to keep it simple. We're not going to put any special seasoning on this. You know what we're going to use? We're just going to use regular salt and pepper. I mean, there's better seasonings out there, but nobody has ever gone wrong with a little salt and a little pepper. That's what I would put on their game plan. A little salt, a little pepper. They go out there, they play, you know, 7-8 plays. Chiefs kick a field goal. Hey, Pat, you know what, man? Why don't you go get ready to go to Brazil, man? That's what I think the Chiefs are going to do. I think they owe you that. You guys give them a lot of money. Preseason, parking, regular season, postseason. Pat can go out there and play for a little bit. Travis can go out there for a little bit, catch one pass, get up, signal first down. They can do that for you. But that's it. We got much more important games, much more important memories to make this season at Arrowhead, much bigger things to do. That's how I see tonight going for you out of Arrowhead. I want you to have an amazing time. Some of you are taking your little one out there. Maybe it's their first Chiefs game. I hope that they get the full experience that you can get for an August football game. I hope they get to see Pat. I hope that Taylor's there. She waves at everybody. And then, you know what? I want Taylor Swift to leave in the middle of the first quarter because the game is over. That would be in everybody's best interest. That's how I see today's Chiefs game going. Let's talk about the Royals. We got a lot to get into in this 5 o'clock hour as you were heading home. Let's talk about the Royals. My big theme for the Royals for the next, I don't know, 10 days is going to be face your fears. If the Royals miss the postseason, they will miss the postseason because of two things. What are those things? Number one, it's going to be because of June. They were not good in June. They were 8-18 in June. That's not good. Not good at all. But the second reason why the Royals could potentially miss the postseason is this season they have been 22-37 against teams who are 500 or better. Well, they have 34 games left. And well, what do you know? 19 of those games are against teams that are 500 and better. Now, I'm not telling you that the Royals need to go 17-2 against those teams. That's not really realistic. And if they do that, I mean, we're talking beyond the third wild card. They might be the top wild card team if they can go on that kind of streak. But again, that's not necessary. That's not what we need the Royals to do. The Royals need to do something that, quite frankly, they have not done at any point this season against the good teams. They just got to tread water. Now, we have used that term loosely, I would say, over the first 100-something games of the season, but now they actually have to do it against the good teams. We talked to Vern earlier, and Vern's like, well, I don't want to put a win total on it. I will. That's fine. Six of the Royals' next nine games are against the Tigers. You got to go 3-3 against the Tigers. I don't care which three you win. I don't care how you win the three. You have to go at least 500 against the Tigers. Those 19 games that they have remaining, they have six against the Tigers. They have Cleveland, Philadelphia, Seattle, and Toronto. I mean, Detroit's making the playoffs for sure. Philadelphia making the playoffs for sure. Toronto, Seattle, that is the team that you are in direct competition with. You're playing the heavyweights. And for the most point, when the Royals have played the heavyweights, when they've played the better teams in Major League Baseball, I gave you the numbers, they have been knocked on their keister. That is all the Royals need to do. They just need to be competitive against the good teams and then continue what they have been doing. When they play the White Sox, pummel them. When you play the Angels or the A's or teams that have no postseason aspirations, those are the games that you get fat off of. Those are the games that you really get going. Go 500 or around 500 against the good teams and really get going against the bad teams. And if you do that, there is a clear pathway to you winning somewhere between 85-87 games. And that gives you a realistic chance in making the postseason and getting back to the postseason and being a dangerous team that's hot. That I don't want to say nobody wants to play, but if you can get everybody healthy back in your rotation and keep this offense going, you can definitely make things interesting for a team in the postseason.
I said this earlier on the show, and some of the text line says, guys, let's be honest. If you do the math, the Royals are going to play 17-16 ball down the stretch, which ends them at 83 wins. That's probably coming up short. I agree with that. I say if we probably did that same game in 2014, probably earlier in August, you would have had the Royals out. I don't know the Royals are going to end like 2014, get hot and make the postseason. I don't. I would bet no because, you know, it always favors the skeptic, but I don't know. What I do know is since the All-Star break, they have been a different team. And that different team is a problem for people right now. They've already won 2 of 3 in a series against the Blue Jays since the All-Star break. They've beaten the Cubs 2 of 3 in Wrigley since the All-Star break. They have Detroit tonight. Like, I know that the stats say when the big dogs come to play, the Royals get smacked around and the big dog gives them a big problem. I know that. You know that. We all see that. But I would tell you, the team that you saw in April and May, and Burns been saying this a lot, is different than the one you're watching in August. I think this Royals team has a chance. Obviously, you'd like to win a series against the Tigers, but it's not, you know, oh, they're screwed if they don't. You just got to hover against those good teams and wallop the bad teams. And what did the Royals do in this last week? They swept the White Sox. They took 3 of 4 from the Rangers. Two teams that are sub 500 and would fall into the, maybe the Rangers aren't bad, but they're the not good category of baseball teams. If you do that and you just keep your head above water against the Tigers and co, maybe you can have that 2014 moment where it was just, you were hot enough at the right time and you were able to work your way into the postseason. That's the dream for the Royals. And a month ago, 2 months ago, I would have told you Royals fans, text line, whoever, social media is crazy to even discuss the Royals and playoffs in the same breath because it's done. Right now, not only can you discuss it, I think it's very likely. You're 2 games back and 3 games back of the first wild card. That is in the thick of the race.
We'll get to college football here coming up in a bit. I also want to play a chunk for you guys of Derek Young. He is in Ireland. He was on earlier today to talk a little Kansas State football. I want to give them the respect that they're deserved as a preseason ranked top 25 team, a team that I think can win the Big 12, and a team that plays a really important game to kick off the season in Ireland. I also think, I guess, in the same vein of what we're talking about with the Royals, sometimes you got to take your wins where you can get them and you got to count your blessings. The Royals don't have to go against either the best or second best pitcher in baseball in this series. We'd be having a different conversation if Scooble was on the mound. That's probably not a game that you can count as a win. I mean, you could probably win. I mean, it's baseball. Things happen. But you're not going into that feeling like a favorite, and you are not considered to be the favorite. The fact that you avoid Scooble for this, now you get him in the home series, I believe right now, if you look at the probables, he would pitch next Sunday against Noah Cameron. The fact that you avoid him in this series, it gives you a chance to win 2 out of these 3. You don't feel like there's already one game you got to chop off, and that's a likely loss for you. So this series, I know it's on the road. It's against a very good team that's been, it feels inconsistent at times in this second half. You got to do what you got to do, and you got to take care of business. You got to keep stringing good series, good days, and good moments together and continue to hope to continue that momentum as the season progresses. Let's talk a little college football before we play a chunk of Derek Young, who joined us on the show earlier today. One of the reasons that I love college football is this week zero matchup. Now, it's a little bit different with the college football playoff, but I guess maybe it's not because the automatic qualifier for the Big 12, and the Big 12 just isn't a league that's going to get 3 or 4 spots, right? Like, that's just not really one of those kind of leagues. This is a really important college football game to get things going. The Big 12 feels like a league that's going to come down to tiebreakers and who did you beat. And the fact that you are playing another one of the contending teams during this time is really big and really important. Whoever wins this game gives themselves a significant leg up to kick off the season. So that's good. That's great. Whoever wins this game puts themselves, I don't want to say the driver's seat because it's mid-August, but you put yourself in a good position. Hey, you can win the Big 12 if you win this game. I don't know if you could find 2 teams in the Big 12 that feel more even than these 2 teams. From a coaching standpoint, from a quarterback standpoint, from a skill position standpoint, fan base, like these 2 programs feel like they are mirror images of each other. This is a true coin flip kind of game to kick off the season. Usually, and at least maybe it's kind of, the tide is actually kind of turning. I feel like week 1 and week 2 and week 0 used to be cupcake playing Power 5 school. It's just not really what it is anymore. It's games like this. Hey, we're going to kick things off from week 1. We're going to play a game that really matters on ESPN. Great. I'm excited for it. Next week, think about it. You got LSU going up against Clemson. You got Texas playing against Ohio State. You got games that really, really matter to kick off the college football season. Michigan plays Oklahoma in the early portion of the season. Like, you got games that really, really matter. This is what makes the sport so fun, and we need more of this. And one of the reasons, Rob, why I am against them continuing to water down the regular season and essentially water down the postseason is games like this have to matter. Who wins this game? This has to matter. It has always mattered in college football in determining who can win your conference, who can win your league, and who can move on in their season. And the fact that you were getting this at the very beginning of the season, this isn't just a big deal locally. This should be a big deal nationally for, again, a conference that feels wide open. Arizona State can win this league. Utah can win this league. K-State, Iowa State. A lot of these teams feel like they got a shot at it. And K-State or Iowa State, they get the first crack of it tomorrow morning in Dublin.
I am so, I mean, I am very excited for the KU game tomorrow. Don't get me wrong. I'm a KU fan, season ticket holder, blah, 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 blah. I am far more interested in K-State Iowa State tomorrow than I am KU because of all the things you mentioned. And also, we can be honest about not just college football, but sports in general. The team you are in week one, week zero, is not the team you are at the end of the season. So in theory, you could argue that these teams are facing each other at their worst. This is the lowest they might be this season. And you get a top 25 matchup. You get two really good quarterbacks. You get two good coaches. And you get it on a neutral site on national television, 11 a.m. College game day is there. Like, neither school's going to gloat they got game day. But college game day, Pat McAfee, Nick Saban, the whole crew is there. This is, I hope college football sees, the powers that be, sees this today, or tomorrow, excuse me, and tries to do more of it. I think we're seeing it in week one. A lot of major matchups in college football. I think we're going to start seeing it more in week zero. Give college football fans more than just Kansas versus Wagner or Alabama A&M against Tennessee. Give us real quality games with meaning early in the season, and we will watch. And this Big 12 game between Kansas State and Iowa State is that in bunches.
Earlier today, we got an opportunity to catch up with Derek Young. He covers Kansas State for K-State Online. Here's our conversation with Derek Young.
At least since it's been called the Erlingus College Football Classic, that this is the first time that the two teams playing in the game are both ranked in the AP poll, both in the top 25. Obviously, Kansas State, 17. I believe the Cyclones sitting there at number 22. So it's a pretty big game just when you put those numbers across the table and show everyone that, but it's also a pretty big game when it comes to the conference. I mean, Kansas State's going to play all three of Iowa State, Baylor, and Utah away from home this year, even though this one is actually considered a home game. I think those will be three, the most pivotal probably in determining whether or not Kansas State's in Arlington playing for a Big 12 championship or not, to be honest. So it's interesting in that way. And like you said, pretty even teams in terms of caliber. Both teams returned their starting quarterback. Iowa State is Rocco Beck. Kansas State has Avery Johnson. Both teams looking to replace maybe a hole in their team. With Iowa State, it's the receivers. They lose both Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noll, who will be collecting NFL paychecks this year. Kansas State also has the secondary to figure out and maybe a little bit of the offensive line.
Where did this rivalry come from? And I guess maybe more specifically, how did this rivalry get so competitive? Because I'm just remembering as a kid, I don't really feel like it was that big of a deal, but it really feels like it's taken on a life of its own over the last 10 years or so. These two fan bases love to go back and forth. They've got a nickname for the game now. How did we get here between K-State and Iowa State?
Yeah, to be honest, I think it started with the fan bases kind of going at it on social media. It's a new era now in college athletics, or just the world in general, where social media can kind of contrive or derive certain things. And in a way, I think it's responsible for the rivalry between both Kansas State and Iowa State, and even the genesis of the Farmageddon name. We need to get that name probably more and more popular, to be honest. It's not as popular as it should be, but another part of it is the competition aspect. It's not as lopsided as it once was. Kansas State dominated this rivalry for years and years and years. Bill Snyder just didn't lose to Iowa State. He didn't lose to a lot of teams. Iowa State was one of those. And now with Matt Campbell now in Ames, he's really made this competitive. In fact, he's almost turned it on its head. Iowa State's won four of the last five meetings.
Right now, we're talking to Derek Young, taking a closer look at K-State and Iowa State. That is going to be the first game of the college football season. I do want to hyper-focus in on K-State. I've got a general Big 12 question that I want to get to before we do that. How many teams do you think can win the Big 12? Because Rob and I were sitting here and going through it. I think the answer is probably somewhere between 5 to 7 teams. This feels about as wide open as I can remember for this league.
I would agree. You got Kansas State, Iowa State, Arizona State, and Texas Tech off the top of my head. Some people want to include Baylor. Some people want to include Utah. So that's an easy 6 in my mind. I might even be missing a team that's certainly worthy of contention as well. I know some people thought maybe if Jake Retzlaff was still on the roster, maybe a point to BYU. I was never kind of that guy, to be honest. I thought BYU did it last year with a lot of smoke and mirrors. And even with Jake Retzlaff was probably a candidate for a little bit of regression. I actually don't think there's a a big difference in BYU between having Retzloff and not having Retzloff. But even without the Cougars, I think you're looking at, yeah, Utah, Texas Tech, Arizona State, Baylor, Kansas State, Iowa State, a lot of teams that can win the conference. And last year, you looked at the league at the end, I think there was, what, four teams tied at 7-2. It wouldn't be a shock to see that once again.
I think this is what the Big 12 future looks like, and I don't mean this with any disrespect towards Kansas State, but the Big 12 just doesn't have that traditional football power the way that the other conferences do. There's no Clemson in the Big 12. There's no Ohio State. There's no Alabama. You get the point that I'm making. I think there's going to be years a lot like this year. I really like K-State. I really like Arizona State, but I don't think you can consider them to be the odds-on favorite. It feels like it comes down to a lot of swing games like the one we have on Saturday between these two teams that feels like a coin flip, and whichever team wins that, they have a significant advantage the rest of the way.
Yeah, there was a lot of years where if you were asked, would you take Clemson or the field to win the ACC, you were automatically picking maybe – in Alabama's heyday with Nick Saban as head coach, if it was Alabama or the field, you pick Alabama. And maybe you still will. I think the interesting thing with the SEC is they talk about the depth, and rightfully so. It's a really good conference with a lot of good teams that would all probably be at the top of the Big 12 if they were in the Big 12 conference. But what Georgia and Alabama have won 10 of the last 11 conference titles. So, but if you're in the Big 12, is there a team where you pick over the field? There's not a single team you pick over the field. What I am curious about moving forward in the Big 12 is there a team or two that maybe flexes their financial muscle if teams can still do that? I'd imagine even with some of the rules that are trying to be implemented that will still be a thing, because if so, then Texas Tech and BYU are going to be interesting case studies.
Taking a closer look now at K-State, I really like Avery Johnson. I don't think he's taken that next step to kind of be in that household names that people around the country will get to know him. Like, he's not a DJ Lagway, not Lenore Sellers, at least in terms of like public consciousness. What do you think he needs to do this season to enter that conversation and be a guy that people are talking about as a dark horse Heisman candidate? And if that ends up being the case, K-State wins the Big 12, in my opinion.
I don't know about you or anyone else, but it's exactly what he actually said at a recent press conference, which I loved hearing. He said, I'm done feeling like I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. I'm just going to make the right play, the accurate play. I'm not going to try to do too much. I'm not going to try to make the play that's not there. I'm also not going to listen to everybody outside of my sphere of influence that says, you got to be a pocket passer, or you got to be a dual threat quarterback that just runs it all the time. Instead, I'm going to be that quarterback that makes the correct play, the right play. So if we need me to win, to run for 100 yards and 3 touchdowns to win, I'm going to do that. If we need me to throw for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns to win, I'm going to do that. That was really something that I liked hearing, because I do think he gets himself trapped, at least last year at times, in being a pocket passer. I'm going to prove to people that I'm not just the runner, or I'm going to prove to people that I can still run. Enough with that. Just make the right play, the correct play, whatever it calls for, to win games. And to hear him have that answer in a recent press conference, I think was great, as long as he actually is going to adhere to it. But I think that's just what it is. I think that's the secret sauce.
I'll get you out of here with this last question, because I want you to go enjoy everything that Ireland has to offer. Give me your K-State wins if scenario. Give me your Iowa State wins if scenario.
K-State wins if they're at least plus one in the turnover margin. The interesting thing is they've lost 4 or 5 to Iowa State, and 5 of those games, all 5, K-State's turned the ball over at least twice. And 4 of those 5, Iowa State doesn't have a turnover at all. So, I mean, that's a significant piece of this rivalry lately is the turnovers, for whatever reason, are going Iowa State's way. So Kansas State wins if they protect the ball, and are probably at least plus one in turnover margin. Maybe it's plus two, but I'll say plus one. Iowa State wins if Rocco Becht plays the way he did against everyone else against Kansas State, because he was nothing really short of a disaster last year. And Iowa State still won, but I don't think they can win with Rocco Becht's performance last year.
That was our conversation with Derek Young earlier today in the show. He covers Kansas State Athletics. I think all three local colleges have very unique quarterback situations heading into the year. We'll get back to the Royals coming up in just a bit. And KU, we have not forgot about you. I understand that Saturday is also a very important for you game for you guys as well. I think Kansas State has the best quarterback out of the three local schools. I think their quarterback has the highest potential and highest ceiling. But I think this is a really, really important and pivotal year. You guys know I'm really big on completion percentages. You are not winning the Big 12 if your quarterback is completing 58% of his passes the way that Avery Johnson did last year. You don't need Avery Johnson to be the best passer in the Big 12, but if he takes the necessary step forward as a passer, and you're also combining that with the guy who ran for 600 yards last year and 7 touchdowns and averaged 5 yards a carry, you will have a very legitimate chance of winning the Big 12 because you may have the best quarterback in the Big 12. I don't think anybody can tell you what Jalen Daniels is going to be this year. He got off to a really slow start at the beginning of last season. He played much better the second half of the season. Kansas then played much better at the second half of the season. They are the most easy team to figure out, maybe outside of Missouri, and I think Missouri is in a very similar, and we'll talk about them. How good KU is this year really depends on Jalen Daniels. 100%. If Jalen Daniels has a bounce back year and is good this season, KU can win 7 or 8 games. If it's the same Jalen Daniels that we saw early in the season against UNLV, KU will be a 5, potentially 6 win football team this season. They have so much riding on him just being good this year. For Missouri, I think right now you just got to put a pin in it. You just don't know. You have two options. One option came in very highly touted out of high school, but just hasn't played a lot of college football, hasn't played for you. Another quarterback that was a backup last year at Penn State that really showed a lot of promise when he got a chance to get on the field. He just didn't get on the field a lot. I don't think we're going to get that answer against Central Arkansas. It's Central Arkansas. Like, that's not answering any of your questions, but it is not that long from now until Kansas plays Missouri in football. So, two, hey, you play a good team, let's see who their quarterback is and how their quarterback looks. All three local schools have, I would say, quarterback questions. Varying degrees, but all of them have quarterback questions heading into the season. Coming up on the other side, we'll find out if you can learn anything about the Chiefs tonight, and we'll also talk about Vinny Pasquantino, who has been hot, hot, hot. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I've got like a handful of things I want to talk about before the show ends. Thing number one, is Joe Tooney going in the Ring of Honor? I only ask this question because we understand that a lot of people during this era are going to go in. Now, I'm not here to question what he did while he was here. He had a fantastic career with the Chiefs. He was a part of multiple Super Bowl winning teams. He was an All-Pro multiple times, a second-team All-Pro player. Joe Tooney did a lot of things. Excuse me. The only reason I ask this question is because if I ask you guys Tyrann Mathieu, I think it would be a lot of split. It'd be very mixed on if Tyrann Mathieu should go on the Chiefs Ring of Honor. He has as many All-Pros as Joe Tooney does. And was also part of championship teams. So if you're going to tell me that you don't think that Tyrann Mathieu is a Chiefs Ring of Honor guy, I can listen to that argument. I don't know if you can then put Joe Tooney in because their resumes are so similar. If the argument just is, well, the Chiefs lost to the Bucks, and that's why Tyrann Mathieu isn't in, because that's really the only difference in what the two accomplished. It's the only difference. Do you think Joe Tooney gets in?
It's a very difficult question to answer for this reason. Guard is just difficult. You pointed out the other day when we were talking about surefire Hall of Famers. I think he's a Hall of Famer, Canton, but there aren't a lot of guards in the Hall of Fame. It's just a difficult position to get in. I would imagine outside of Will Shields and Brian Waters, are there a lot of guards in the Chiefs Ring of Honor? And Will Shields and Canton and Brian Waters won Player of the Week 1 week because it was just an insane week in the NFL. But, like, I think he's in the Ring of Honor, but I think the fact he's a guard and the one contract kind of affects things. I lean yes, but if he's not, I'm not going to be upset about it, if that makes sense.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't be upset either when it comes to that conversation.
I also think for Tyrann Mathieu, for comparison, I apologize for interrupting, Tyrann Mathieu had a bigger impact on the Chiefs. Not that he was a better player, but there was an impact felt beyond just the field by him being a presence, and it was like a culture shift. Joe Tooney was just a good player. There was a different feeling to it.
So, like, someone just sent a text in, got to play here longer than a couple of years to be a team Hall of Famer in my eyes. But I also don't know if, like, that's not really the qualification that the Chiefs have. Like, I'm trying to pull it up so I can see exactly how many years that Willie Rofe played in Kansas City, but Willie Rofe did not have some long-standing career. In fact, Willie Rofe played the exact same amount of time in Kansas City as Joe Tooney and have the same number of first-team All-Pros. Now, I think that Willie Rofe's a better offensive lineman than Joe Tooney. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying Willie Rofe played 4 years with the Chiefs, and he is in the Ring of Honor, and no one is arguing that Willie Rofe should not be in the Chiefs' Ring of Honor. The only reason I asked this question with Tooney, not trying to diminish his career at all, where does the line start for who should go in the Chiefs' Ring of Honor? Because there's probably, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 guys from this time period that I think are just no question. Like, no question, why are we even arguing it? We're not going to argue Kelce. We're not arguing Mahomes. We're not arguing Chris Jones. Like, there's some guys we're not going to argue. I wouldn't argue Harrison Butker. Like, I think Harrison Butker deserves to be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor based on his contribution, and he has had some of the most memorable moments in Chiefs history. So we're talking about like 7 or 8 guys. Are we talking about putting like 12 to 13, 14 guys during in? And where's the line? Like, where's the cutoff if we're talking about Chiefs Ring of Honor for players who played during this dynasty? Frank Clark, is he a Chiefs Ring of Honor guy?
So I we can name all the fringe ones. Frank Clark was one that came to my head immediately as a fringe guy. Like, what will end up happening with, I'm trying to think of other fringe guys like that. I mean, Tyreek Hill's a no-doubter. Sammy Watkins is a no. I think Frank Clark is in, similar to that culture shift that Tyrann Mathieu's in. But again, it's not one where I'm going to be like banging on the table. You have to put him in or you can't put him in, either one of those. Like, it feels like, I don't know, there's a hard, distinct line where I can say you have to achieve X, Y, and Z. It's going to be very much a feel thing, very much like a presence, for lack of a better term. And I don't know how to, like, because like Mecole Hardman, now he wasn't a great player, but Mecole Hardman's a no, even though he was an all pro in town. But like, he's a no despite more time than Frank Clark. It's there's a tough line.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at it, and people are asking the question, what about Tyreek Hill? I didn't even think that Tyreek Hill was a question of whether or not he should be in the Chiefs' Ring of Honor. It's a no doubt or no brainer to me.
He's the second best receiver in the history of the team.
Yeah, it's not even close. And I mean, we're not even arguing if he played enough time. I mean, Tyreek Hill played as many years in Kansas City as Priest Holmes. No one is arguing on whether or not you think that Priest Holmes should be in the Ring of Honor. So why are we arguing on whether or not Tyreek Hill should be in the Ring of Honor? I mean, Tyreek Hill, his average while he was here in Kansas City, let me pull it up, because that first year is a little bit quirky because he was just kind of figuring things out. I mean, Tyreek Hill, while he was in Kansas City, averaged 80 catches for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns a season. Like, I know it maybe didn't end as favorably as you wanted. Come on now. Like, what are we doing? Like, no, Tyreek Hill is a no question, no doubter Chiefs Ring of Honor player. That I understand it's a little contentious. Now, when Tyreek retires and he's out of the public spotlight for a little bit and they bring him back, Tyreek will receive love from the fans whenever he decides to come back. One day they'll ask him to bang the drum. He'll bang the drum and he'll get a standing ovation because he was a really good Chiefs player.
I feel like time heals the saying, time heals all wounds. Yes. Tyreek Hill, eventually people in town will get over it. I mean, Tony Gonzalez is in the Chiefs Ring of Honor and there are people who don't like the way he went out, and it was a no doubt Ring of Honor for Tony Gonzalez. So yes, I can't believe we're having a Tyreek Hill discussion. He seems like an obvious one.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
like a layup.
Yeah, I'm reading the text line. I have Tyreek as a fringe player. Someone else says, could you let a guy like Tyreek in after he talked so much trash in after he left? That doesn't bother me. I'm sorry. That just doesn't bother me. Someone said, Priest set an NFL record and had arguably the greatest three-year stretch of any history. Don't compare Tyreek to that, no matter how good he was. I think you guys are now forgetting how good Tyreek Hill was. Tyreek Hill in 2018 had 87 catches for 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns for the Chiefs. We don't got to do this with Tyreek. Now, again, I'm with you. Priest was a dog while he was here. Let's not act like Tyreek also wasn't a dog. In 2020, Tyreek had 87 catches for 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns and helped him get to another Super Bowl. Tyreek was one of them ones, like legitimately one of those ones. So, yeah, he is not a fringe Hall of Famer to me. He is a no doubter. I think he is a NFL Hall of Famer. Like, I don't think it's that close when it comes to Tyreek Hill. He should absolutely get in. So, yes, he should be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. I wanted to talk about Vinny Pasquantino. We got carried away with the Hall of Fame conversation. You know, I'm always here for that. Vinny Pasquantino, his last 162 regular season games, he has an average of 260. He has hit 34 home runs. He has 119 RBIs for the Royals in his last 162 games. Vinny has been, I mean, that is one of the best offensive stretches that any Royals player has ever had in their franchise's history. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that this offseason and what they do, but Vinny is certainly part of their plans long term. Coming up, we'll give KU a little bit of love as we sign off for the day. Keep it right here, so Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, I want to play this for you guys before we sign off. Michael Swain, he covers the Jayhawks. He's actually seen the new stadium. He breaks it down for us.
I'm really impressed. You know, I don't know what my expectations were. I tried to go in kind of without a preconceived notion of what it would look like. And it really looks top-notch. And I think it's one of those things where fans that have been going to KU games for a long time have been through, you know, bad football and start to see good football, they're going to have the chance to really enjoy a game day around the stadium and outside of just what's going on the field, between, you know, accessibility, concession stands, like sightline stuff. I can talk for days about the sightlines, because that is so much different than the old booth, where you look at the east side right now and it is so gradual the way it goes up to the top row. Well, when you're on the other side, right, the west side or the north side, like, you can go up to the top and it feels like you're still right on top of the action. And I think that part is really cool, that fans that are sitting in, you know, what would be quote unquote the nosebleeds, right? Those are still darn good seats. Like, you got really good, you know, a viewing ability there. And then also with all the concessions around, like, I just think top to bottom, they did a very good job.
What does this say about Travis Goff and the athletic department that he's built? We were just discussing this before you popped on. KU's had some big football moments in the last handful of years. They were on College Game Day. They had that big win at Texas. They beat Colorado last year. They're opening up a new stadium, a completely renovated stadium. They just got a massive, massive donation from David Booth. What does it say about Travis Goff and his vision as the athletic director as they head into this next phase?
Yeah, well, KU definitely has the right person leading the way. You can look, I mean, there's so many different ways you could go to. Obviously hiring Lance Leipold, first of all, right? He hired the right person for Kansas football, and that has really unlocked all of this. If he had hired the wrong person and KU had kind of stayed in the you know, the bottom of the Big 12, this isn't happening because there is not the donor support to do it. There would not have been just generally the push to do it from the actual football office, right? Lance Leipold was a driving force in this. It was in his contract that if KU did not start the stadium project, that he was going to be able to look elsewhere. And so I think those two things combined really helped the stadium thing get going. And then I think it says a lot that a billionaire like David Booth trusts Travis Goff in his athletic department with $300 million, right? People like David Booth don't get in that position by being stupid with their money. And the fact that he is willing to give that sum to KU speaks volumes about what he thinks about the athletic department and Travis Goff. So, look, I mean, like, that donation period is going to help KU with revenue sharing. It's going to help them consistently have revenue streams. Having this new stadium and all the premium seating is going to help generate a lot of revenue for KU in addition to just the gate receipts from other tickets. Like, KU as an athletic department is in a much, much healthier spot entering a phase of college athletics where, you know, the athletic department has to give up $20 million a year to give to players. That's a lot of money. That's not something anyone was factoring in 3 years ago. And the fact that KU is able to be in this position now is super important for just the long-term health of the athletic department and the ability to compete on multiple fronts.
Right now, we're talking to Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. They get things going in week zero. They play host to Fresno State. Michael, I think this is just a solid game. This isn't one of the marquee games in the early part of the college football season, but this is a game like a program like KU. This is a good game to take. You're playing a Power 5 school that we all have heard of before. You're playing them at home. This is a game that's easy to kind of sell to your fan base. You're not playing Cupcake State. This is a legitimate way to kick off the college football season.
It is. I probably would disagree that it's a good game for KU. I think Jeff Long gave this athletic department a little bit of a turd with this one, because playing Fresno State is no joke. Even with a new coaching staff and with the transfer portal additions, like, KU's fortunate that this is not a Fresno State that returns, you know, 18 starters and their head coach and comes into KU looking to put up a big time performance. Like, you look at the other Power Four games they've played, they kept it close with USC, Oregon, and Michigan, right? That's the program we're talking about. That's not necessarily the team you want to be opening your season against if you're KU, but of course the circumstances are a little bit different now, with, you know, they're also breaking in a new roster. But for KU, I think this is what makes, you know, tomorrow night so interesting, is the fact that it's not Lindenwood, right? It's not Wagner coming in for this first game inside the new stadium. It's a legit game, and it's a legit team, and a really good coach in Matt Entz, right? You don't win multiple FCS titles by being a bad coach. And so they're going to be really well organized. They're going to have a game plan coming in, and I think it's going to be a really good test for KU to really see where they're at. I know there are probably some fans on KU's end that feel like, hey, it should be a 20-plus point win. I don't know. You know, I think this could be a situation where going in the fourth quarter, you know, maybe it's a two-score game. I just think that you're going to see Fresno State try and take the air out of the ball. They're going to try their best to be physical. We'll see how that plays out. But I think for KU, it's an interesting game. The fact that this is in week zero gets KU a lot more eyeballs, right? If this was next weekend, this would be on ESPN Plus, or, you know, it'd be on FS1 at, you know, 6:30 or 11 a.m. Like, it wouldn't be a marquee game. And so KU gets to play a good program with a good head coach.
I'm rooting for everybody this weekend. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I'm rooting for the Royals. I'm rooting for the Wildcats. I'm rooting for the Jayhawks. I want all of us to be happy when we come back on Monday. Take care of yourself. Until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.